Well, good evening, saints.
Good evening.
How's everybody tonight?
Good, well.
Blessed.
I'm glad to see your desire tonight is in the Word of God. Did you have a good week?
Yes.
Did y'all watch the eclipse?
Yes. No.
Some of them did. Some of you did. Those of you that did you see any signs and wonders in the skies?
Not for a partial.
No. I seen a preacher on this week on YouTube. In August of 2017, they had a full eclipse. It was a great one. We were on top of the state building in Nashville, right over top of it. It was really cool. We could see over the whole city, watch the lights of the city come on, and then they went off and turned dark. It was really cool. But he was saying that that eclipse in 2017 went across the United States this way, and there was seven cities named Nineveh that it crossed. Then he says, 7 years later, we got Monday, April the 8th, it went this way. And 7 years later, seven cities, and it went over seven cities again, that named Salem. Huh. And right in the middle where the two cross, there's a city named Rapture.
Wow.
Now, did we miss it?
No.
Did it happen this week while I was asleep?
Well, I don't think anyone went missing.
And that was just one of many. I just found that one particularly interesting. Many speculations. This week I got an email from Southwest Radio Ministries. Again, this week, I didn't plan it this way, from Josh Davis. And I want to read a couple things from this, and because I think it pertains to what we've just said and pertaining to what we're going to do tonight. And I found this really interesting. April the 8th, 2024, a total solar eclipse awes Americans, but some students of Bible prophecy warn it is an omen of impending judgment upon the United States. Is this eclipse a harbinger or divine judgment upon America or our people? He asked the question. Or are our people misrepresenting God's word and misunderstanding the signs of the times? Now, how many of you have heard all these eclipses and the blood moons and all this is all part of the signs of the times? He goes on to say, thus understanding if the April 8th, 2024 total solar eclipse is a prophetic sign, we must begin by understanding what the Bible says about these kinds of signs. Luke 21:25 speaks of signs in the sun and the moon and of the stars. A parallel passage in Matthew 24:29 states that the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light and the stars shall fall from heaven. Zechariah 14:6-7 and Joel 2:10 speak out similar signs in the heavens. Although these verses are in prophetic passages predicting a future event from the time it was written, very little has been proven at this point. It is a misleap to say these verses are fulfilled in April 8, 2024 eclipse. Much more evidence is needed to make this case. Both Zechariah 14:1 and Joel 2:1 make it clear that the signs described will occur during the day of the Lord. That's right. The essence, the phrase, the day of the Lord, refers to God's judgment upon the earth. In other words, the tribulation. Most Bible references speak to an end time fulfillment of this day in which God will fulfill His promises of wrath upon unbelievers and deliverance for believers. Thus, if the April 8, 2024 eclipse is a fulfillment of these Bible prophecies, then the implication is that we are living in the biblical day of the Lord right now. Does that line up with what Luke 21 and Matthew 24 says about the signs and the stars? Remember, do not read the headlines back into the Bible. The only way they could use these passages in defense of such position is if the world is experiencing the Great Tribulation right now and the second coming of Jesus is right around the corner. Many other scriptures make it clear that we are not currently experiencing the Great Tribulation. We are not in the great day of God's wrath, Revelation 6:17. Astonishingly, some who hold pre-tribulation views of the rapture are promoting these theories on April 8th eclipse and use these verses to support their case. No benefit ever comes from taking scripture out of context. Do not get swept up in sensational claims and neglect to rightly divide the word of truth.
Amen.
Very good article. He goes on, he says, are eclipses only about America? Some have built the case that the April 8th eclipse is God's way of warning America of impending judgment as he has warned Nineveh through the prophet Jonah. The biblical case to support this argument is flimsy at best, and it takes a lot of creativity to come up with some of the arguments being passed around online. Be careful of reading too much into these things. Proponents of this view make it sound like eclipses are rare events. Did you know that the 21st century will experience 224 solar eclipses, among which 68 will be total eclipses? During the same 100-year period, Earth will experience 230 solar eclipses, among which 85 will be total lunar eclipses. It's not quite as rare as some people make it out to be. Over 450 eclipses in 100 years. What about past eclipses and signs and stars like the four blood moons from the Passover in 2:14-2:15? The same passages discussed in this article were used 10 years ago to support the blood moon theory that was supposed to signal the rapture and kickstart the seven-year Great Tribulation. That was a bust. Well, he ends it up saying this. By the way, if the rapture hasn't happened yet, save this article for 2032 and 2033 because the same blood moons will occur, and it's going to pull it out again in 2043 and 2044 with the extremely rare super moon, which occurs between Passover and the Sukkot, the cycle of four solars and lunar eclipses. If God wanted us to know the timing of the rapture and the Great Tribulation and the second coming, he would have told us in the Bible. And his infinite wisdom, he chose not to reveal that to us, but commanded us to be about his business until he calls us home to be with him. I thought that was a good article.
Yeah.
And we do that, don't we? So many preachers add sensationalism into it. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that Bible passage says that the moon and stars, the sun and the moon would be darkened, but also the stars would not give their light. But during the solar eclipse, you're able to see more stars.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, I thought Josh was right on there, folks. And by the way, if you didn't know this, we have picked up South Radio Ministries as a mission. And these guys are good. And many of you met Josh at the Prophecy Conference, and he was right on there. He's a busy boy, busy young man. And I thought that was a good article. And I kind of got a kick out of some of these videos I watched of some of these preachers, and they add all this stuff into it, and then it don't happen.
Was Josh the one acting as the MC?
No, that was Matthew. Josh was the young, tall guy, and he worked the equipment in the back, and then he spoke on the things coming. Josh is also a pastor in Bristol, Tennessee, as well as works with Southwest Radio Missions. All right, tonight I want to give you some scripture to begin with. And I'm trying to tie all this that we have been studying for weeks, along with some new stuff. And we took a break in the middle to give you the three terms and the definitions, because I think this was the right time to do it, because we're going to branch off again. We're still within the realm of the subject, but it's just taken us months here to do it. But I want to, let's just look at this, because one of my questions for you tonight, and just think about this, is just how close to the rapture do you think we are? You know, real close, not so close, or well, maybe in the by and by one day. And think about this. Think about all the things that has happened, all the things that are coming. Curtis?
I don't think anybody knows the day or the hour. I believe it could happen at any moment. And I am keeping my eye on what's going on in Israel, because there's a lot happening. I don't know for sure, but it could be a very good possibility that we may actually see this Gog Magog thing coming about, or if it's in the first part of the trip. Something very strange going on with Israel.
There's a lot going on, and I think, and I'm going to give you a little bit of scripture here tonight, and then we're going to discuss some things. And this is always in the back of our mind, and of course, I know all of God's children, we're ready and anxious for it, and I know I am. I really am, and I think what Curtis said, it could come any minute now, really. I mean, I've watched the signs, and many of you have over the years, as you've been Bible students, many of you for many years, and you've seen these things coming. I'm going to read some scriptures, and I want you to stop and think about what the key thing here that Jesus is trying to tell us. What is he, talking to his disciples, or he's talking to you and I too. But pick out the key thing. And I'm not going to read a whole lot of scripture, other than I'm going to skip and hit some certain verses. But at the 24th chapter of Matthew, you can start with. 24th chapter of Matthew, starting in verse 1. We're going to go 1 to 5. And Jesus departed from the temple area and was going on his way when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to the building of the temple and point them out to him. But he answered them, "Do you see all this? Truly I tell you, there will not be one left here, one stone upon another, that will not be thrown down." And while he was seated on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us, when will this take place, and what will the signs of your coming and of the end, that is, the completion of the communion of the age?" Can you just see the disciples coming to Jesus in curiosity? "Well, when are you going to come back? What's going to happen? What about the end of the world? Can you tell us about it?" And it was a legitimate question. And Jesus answered it and says, "Be careful that no one misleads you, deceiving you, leading you into error. For many will come in on the strength of my name, appropriating the name which belongs to me, saying, 'I am the Messiah, the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars." No, I'm not going to go there. Go down to verse 11. "And many false prophets will rise up and deceive and lead many into error." Then over in verse 24, he says, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise, and they will show great signs and wonders, so as to deceive and lead astray, if possible, even the elect, God's chosen ones. Now, in Mark, the 13th chapter, verses 21, 22, and 23. That's Mark, the 13th chapter. And then if anyone says to you, "See, here is the Christ," or "Look, there he is," do not believe it. False Christs and false prophets will arise and show signs and work miracles to deceive and lead astray, if possible, even the elect whose God has chosen out for himself. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians. Okay, in these two verses of Scripture, before we read Thessalonians here, what did you pick out a common denominator here? Who said that?
Dan.
Deception in these last days. A deception so great that even God's elect, Christians, believers, can be deceived. And to me, it's not the signs and wonders that's so important here, but Jesus keeps saying over and over and over, do not be deceived. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Because we are living, folks, in an age of a huge deception that's out there. Huge deception. And sadly to say, I see many, many truly born-again believers that are being deceived with what is out here. Now, our brother Owen stood up here this morning, and he presented to the church one of the several ways, that we can keep from being deceived. And that's what, Owen? Bible study. Buddy, Bible study. Can't make people do it, though. And these are the kind of people that's going to be deceived and get caught up into the stuff that's going on out here in the world today. Now, in a partial answer to Curtis, I picked up one little thing that I don't quite agree with, but that we're not in the tribulation. But look what Paul is saying in the 5th chapter of Thessalonians. And I read part of this to you last week. I'm not going to read it all, but you can read verses 1 to 8. And what Paul is saying here, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read this, is listen, folks, when Jesus comes, he's going to come as a thief in the night. Any of you ever had a thief come in your house? We did one time. We weren't home, thank goodness, but gone fishing. Thief come in when we first moved out where we're at. Got no idea it's coming. But you know, a lot of believers, this kind of worries them. Well, if it worries, you go and read the rest of it, but Paul tells us that you and I are not children of the darkness. We can see these things coming. The world, folks, when the rapture takes place and the world out here, your friends and neighbors and family and many, many, many people out here in this world, it's going to shock them. They have no idea that it's coming. Most of them don't even know what it is. It's just something that they hear about. And believe me, Satan, through the world, through our government and our leaders, is going to have some kind of an excuse and reason as to why we're gone. Now, to them, their pain in the butt is going to be out of here. That's you and I. Okay? They won't have to have anti-abortion rallies anymore because there's not going to be anybody there or nobody there to... Yeah. Because we're going to be gone. So they can do whatever they want to do. And... Yeah, just something. I'm going to throw this out. You may think I'm crazy. We'll see. I'm going to throw something out at you. Just think about and watch in the near coming future. One of the things that they're going to tell you or tell the world, you're not going to be here, but they're going to tell the world of what has happened to us. You ready for this?
Aliens.
Huh?
Aliens.
Yeah. Louder.
Aliens.
Aliens got us.
Yep. Yep. You can see it.
Could you see this interest building up again?
Yes. Yep.
And have you seen to where now they're starting to say that Jesus was an alien?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the Mormons just said that for years. From Cola.
Now, those of you who don't keep up with stuff, you probably think I'm crazy. We'll see. We'll see. Yeah, there's a great movement, and our government claims they've let it slip. They do have proof. Now listen, folks, you can call them little moon people, you can call them aliens, or you can call them ETs, or you can call them anything you want, but the Bible has one word for them. What is it, David?
Demons.
Oh, these pilots see them. People see them. It's no secret. But it's demons. Demonic power. Now remember, Jesus said, folks, don't be deceived. You and I now are children of light. We're not children of darkness. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived.
You know, there's a scripture that says, God is not mocked whatsoever man soweth, that shall I also reap.
Yes.
We always apply that in a particular way. If we apply that to these alien forecasters, if that's all they're consumed with, that's all they're going to be looking for. That's all they're going to see.
You know, I, a personal belief of mine, I don't think we know the half of what's going on out here. You know, we're getting bits and pieces as time goes on, and we go, light comes on. Curtis?
It's kind of funny how all this alien stuff started back in 1948, the Roswell thing, when Israel became a nation.
Maybe there's a connection there. I don't know, but it's going to start increasing, folks. If y'all watch the news, you're going to see it start to increase. Back December, I believe it was, they had a huge congressional meeting on this, and there were some people that let some things slip out that they have physical evidence. All right, now, great deception. I showed you Josh Davis's book last week, and we've told you that before I even read the book and before we come out. There's three main areas that we're seeing a great deception in this country, and it's a deception in the areas of the rise of the one world mind. And this is what government and education is out to do, is to change your way of thinking. Now, fortunately, some of us are so old, we're stuck in our ways, and we're not going to change our ways and way of thinking, and that's not a bad thing. I feel for our children and our grandchildren, and some of you, your great-grandchildren, because Satan has his way and using all these pawns that he has to change people's thinking in all kinds of ways. Another one of the things and a deception that's going to be coming on to us and has already started is our one world economy. It's going to change. It has to change in order. And all these things are to bring about the rise of the Antichrist. And the other one, and this is where I want to focus at for a while anyway. I don't know how many, not all tonight, but the next time. Is in the one world religion and one world worship. And within Christianity. And Christ tells us within Christendom, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. There's going to be religious leaders that's going to rise up. Now, these are leaders are not pastors of a little bitty church. Some of these leaders are pastors and leaders of, and I can't comprehend this, mega churches. Churches with thousands of people that are members. we wouldn't even fit in one of their Sunday school rooms. Okay? Hundreds and hundreds in Sunday school classes. Ministries around the world. Multi-million dollar mission programs. Their pastor is so big and impotent that he has to have a jet airplane to fly around the world. Sorry, Dan. Deception. Deception in the church. Do you think that this deception in the church is going to come wide open and openly where everybody's going to see it? Is it going to be hidden? It's going to be sound good. There's going to be signs and wonders. Scripture tells us, doesn't it? These false prophets, they're going to do signs and wonders and miracles. But Jesus said, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. I watched a little short video this week. Y'all heard of Joel Osteen?
Yeah.
He says, quote, God loves everyone unconditionally. What do you think about it? Quickly, what do you think?
God hates sin.
No? Sounds good. And if you think of it in one way, that God puts the invitation out to all of mankind, that His salvation is free to any man, woman, or child that wants to, that will take it, and He loves us, and it doesn't matter how deep in sin that you live, and but if you come to Christ, He's going to forgive you, so isn't that unconditional love? But what did Joel mean by that statement? Well, if you listen to other things he says, that God loves you unconditionally, that means that He's just forgiven everybody. He loves them and they're all going to heaven. Everybody. And he goes on to say, 99.9% of the people are good. They just make bad choices. Now, if you want to build a big congregation, Dan, that's what you ought to tell everybody. Y'all are good. 99% of the people are bad. No, that was wrong. How many? 100% of the people are bad. How do we know that? Scripture tells us. All
unrighteous.
None righteous. All have sinned. The heart of man is deceitfully wicked. But if you want to be a false prophet and build a mega church with thousands of people in it, tell them, hey, y'all, 99.9% of y'all just good people. God loves you unconditionally. He's just going to let you into His heaven because you were good.
Good people with a big wallet.
Joel Osteen on Larry King says many religions can lead to eternal life, including the Jews, the Muslims, the Hindus, and they all, because they all love God. Then Larry King asked him, it says, are they going to heaven or hell? You know what his answer was? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, means I won't say.
Yeah.
He doesn't read the Bible.
Oh, he knows.
Here's a pastor. Thousands of people in his church. Thousands of people. I don't know. Don't know if these people are going to heaven or hell. Well, you don't know the Bible. You may be pretty. You may be able to talk real good. Don't have a redneck voice like me, but you can charm people. But you sure don't know the Word of God. And that's why I wouldn't come up here and beg the people, study the Bible, come to Bible study, come to Bible study. People don't come to Bible study, you're going to be people that are deceived by men just like him. And we're going to go on here in a minute. It's going to get worse, a whole lot worse. And one of the things that is huge within Christendom, that is a huge deception out here and deceiving many and many believers, and that is experience or other people's experience. And the kind of thinking that it goes along with this is the kind of thinking that sacrifices truth for the sake of a superficial experience. I've had people say, well, at your church, do you do the stuff? I go, what do you mean? Do you do the stuff? What do you mean do the stuff? You do all the good stuff. Do y'all have prophecies? Do y'all have signs and wonders of people being controlled and passed out by the Holy Spirit and all this kind of stuff, and they speak in all kinds of languages and, you know, that kind of good stuff? Do y'all do the stuff? We preach the gospel. Well, that's fine, but do you do the stuff? Before I start, so you don't take this wrong, Ephesians. In the fourth chapter in Ephesians, in verse 15, it says, and I'm reading from the Amplified, "Rather, let your lives lovingly express the truth in all things." People, let me pause here for a minute. If you're going to be a watchman on the wall, you're going to have to express the truth and give warning in all things. Even things that are not popular, things that are controversial, things that some people may not like. But you got to give them the truth and express the truth in all things. Speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, enfolding in love. Let us grow up in every way and in all things unto Him who is the head, Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. We're to speak the truth. Many times we need to speak it in love and not be condemning. And I hope, I'm going to read you some things, and we're going to go into some areas. And I want to do this, hopefully, in love and not being sarcastic. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of our charismatic friends. And I do believe I have some friends that are really, truly born again and sincerely love the Lord. I have some very close family that is caught up to this. And even though we do disagree with some fundamental issues, I still count them as precious brother. Okay? I'll make that real clear. But folks, Scripture is the rule against which we must measure all teachings. And my only desire is to turn the light on God's Word on a movement that is taking Christendom by storm and has deceived many. John MacArthur quoted a couple letters that he received in the mail. Get to the letters in a minute. This was printed in a charismatic magazine. Recently on television, I saw a lady tell about how her flat tire was healed. Not long ago, I got a letter from somebody in Florida who had heard a wonderful testimony by a woman who had taught her dog to praise the Lord in an unknown bark. spoke. This is real. This is in the church. This is on TV. Granted, both of these examples are bizarre, and perhaps it is unfair to characterize the charismatic movement with illustrations like this. I wish that they were true. I wish those two examples were rare, but they're not. And the reason they are not is that the charismatic ranks, no experience has to stand the test of scriptures. This is their statement. No experience has to stand the test of scripture. Let me pause for just a second, folks, and I'm going to speak for our leadership, and I know I'm right. Everything that we do or say is tested by Scripture. Okay? In this church. Okay? And that includes experiences. Everything, this is the proof, this is the test, is Scripture. Not your experience. Or not somebody else's experience. Jan, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this, C-R-O-U-C-H, Crouch?
Crouch.
Jan Crouch, who with her husband Paul leads Trinity Broadcasting Network, told a live audience in Costa Rica that God answered the prayers of two little 12-year-old girls who raised their pet chicken from the dead. Mrs. Crouch has recounted that the same tale on TBN broadcasts that air coast to coast and around the world. In other words, this was broadcast around the world. Two 12-year-old girls' pet chicken was raised from the dead. Why? Why? Does it say anything about bringing praise and honor to God? The Charisma magazine, the movement's flagship periodical, runs full-page ads and two-page spreads for Raphael Ranch, a charismatic healing center that treats cancer patients with subliminal scripture tapes. You don't have to die is the name of it. In the title of the videotape, you can buy from Rafa for $29.95. What a bargain. A blurb describes the ranch, a blurb that describes the ranch as a place where cancer patients can come and be healed, and they add heralds the healing perils of Raphael's subliminal word therapy tapes. You know, folks, I have sometimes a hard time reading stuff like this. It's just so ridiculous. For $29.95, you can get healed of cancer.
I have something I would like to add to what you're saying. This is a personal experience. So I had a shop at one time, a retail shop. I had a gentleman come in. He was a Pentecostal pastor. And he heard we were playing Christian music. We were known as Christians in the business world. So we struck up a conversation. And that particular time I was sick, he said, "Let me pray for you." I'm like, "That's pretty cool." So he says, "Stand right here." So I stood right there, and he started pushing on my forehead. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, just standing there thinking, why is he pushing on my forehead? And he says to me, "You're supposed to fall down."
You didn't know.
I didn't know I was supposed to fall down. That's a true story.
Got it.
Exactly what you're talking about.
Similar thing happened to me. I was going to a church that ended up swallowing the whole gospel message. And the guy came and he was praying for everyone, and he did the same thing for me. He's pushing on my forehead trying to get me. Everyone's being slain in the spirit. Yeah. He's trying to get me to go down. I'm like, no.
You didn't know that you're supposed to do the stuff. That's all part of it.
I'm not going to say that God cannot do that. He has the power to do anything he wants.
But I'm saying, I'm hearing what you're saying. What you're saying is true.
I've been there. I've seen it.
Yeah.
I got caught up in some of it many years ago, and then I began to study the Word of God. I've seen the fallacy in it. And let me just tell you and why, and this may help some of y'all. I was raised in a Southern Baptist church.
Yep.
Hmm?
I said, yep, me too.
And it was so boring.
Yeah.
So dull that when I went to a tent revival, and I don't know how I started doing it, because I'm a teenager, folks, and I'm hungry for the Word of God. I don't remember how, but I ended up in the tent. Man, this is neat. These people got something. They're alive. And that's how, for a while, I got sucked into this thing. I even had one tent evangelist wanted me to travel the world for him. Because I like to work. I could work. You need somebody to put that tent up. But it's easy sometimes to get when you're a baby Christian. And you don't know the Word of God and you're not grounded. And I'm just a teenager, 16, 17 years old. And something to me was new, and I just thought, man, this is great. These people really love the Lord, and I imagine some of them do. But these people are doing the stuff. And so I got, I started believing them. Well, when you get into a movement or a group like that, then you start believing what they teach in you. This is where deception comes in. Now, I'm a 16-year-old dumb kid, but we have grown adults that get sucked into this stuff just as well because it sounds good.
I want to say something before you go on.
Yeah, and I'm not going to go on. Until next time, I got a lot for y'all.
Here's the sad part about something. Paul and Jan Crouch are a good example. They were doing some incredibly good things in the name of the Lord. They were broadcasting the Farsi language, the gospel in the Farsi language, into Iran. When you couldn't get into Iran, they were broadcasting in there, and people in Iran were getting saved because of their work there. And they had opened this Holy Land experience over here in Orlando. And I've been to that thing. I mean, it was a great testimony for the Lord. So, where are they now? I know Paul is dead, maybe Jan too. But the thing is, you don't hear anything about the Crouch family now. You don't hear anything about their ministry. The Holy Land experience is closed down. It's not open anymore.
The car lot now.
So, they were doing good things, but somehow they got off track.
Yes, and like I said earlier, folks, there's a lot of men and women that really love the Lord. And this is my point tonight. We're going to quit. I'm over time. I'm going to quit here. But I got a lot more for you next time that we're together. Is that, as the Scripture said, you may be God's elect. You may love the Lord. But if you're not based in the Word of God and strengthened in the Word of God, if you're not continuously in prayer and in study in the Word of God, you too can get sucked up into error.
That's right.
Why do you think Jesus said, don't be deceived, don't be deceived, don't be deceived? And concerning these end times that we, and I firmly believe that we're in the last days, that Jesus said, in the last days, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Warning from Christ Himself for you and I that we don't get caught up into this stuff. Stick to the Word of God. Test the spirits with the Word of God. Test experiences. Test these teachings with the Word of God. Just like one woman here. Is there anything in the Word of God that even indicates to you that you should teach your dog to praise the Lord in an unknown bark? Debbie, you got chickens.
Yeah.
We'll come over and pray for one of them. If they die, maybe God will raise it from the dead.
Well, my roommate rooster keeps attacking me, you can be praying for him to be raised.
You know, I chuckle at some of this, and I see some of y'all kind of laugh and got smiles, but in other ways, it's sad, isn't it? It's real sad that people can get sucked up into this. And like I said, I want to take this further because I want to look at it in a little bit of depth, experiences. And what some people have said about experience. Forget about the Bible, they say. Your experience overrides Scripture.
And that's when you get up and leave.
That's when you get up and leave. That's right. But this is what they teach. This is what many of them teach. And we're going to see this by some of the things that I'm going to read to you. And they're quoting them and what's in their magazine and such. I heard a very, I'm not going to mention his name, but y'all know him, and I love him to death. But he says, it's hard to argue with a man with an experience. No, it's not. Yeah. No, it's not. When I first heard that, I go, well, yeah, I guess. Oh, wait a minute. I don't care what kind of experience, it better be based upon the Word of God, because here's the judge of that experience. So where does experiences come from?
First of all, he's a man, so you don't know if it's a true experience or not.
Sure.
You weren't there.
Yeah.
There used to be a healing evangelist on TV who was well known, and he would heal people, supposedly. But he would stand there and say to them, you're a smoker, aren't you? And they would say, well, yeah, how did you know that? And so I could see the green ring around your mouth. There's a green ring right on your mouth. And that used to bug me out. Well, finally dawned on me. He wasn't seeing anything. He was smelling them. He could smell the smoke.
That's what I say. Yeah, oh, yeah. There's a lot of that out there, and it's deception within Christendom. Folks, we need to be warned of it. Because we've had people here in the past. I'll just flat out tell you, many of you know this. We've had people here in the past caught up in it. They tried to bring it right here in this church. Okay? And there's going to be some other key things. Words of knowledge. The words of prophecy. And a lot of other stuff they bring.
There's people now that used to go to this church that are caught up in that stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And they tried to bring it in here. They tried to change your leadership. And instead they had to leave. Because we wouldn't stand for it. And other stuff that was trying to be brought in. And you know it's time to quit. Father, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord, that teaches us in all things. Lord, we pray that you'll give all of us the wisdom, the knowledge, to know the difference between the truth and error and lies of Satan. We know that he is extremely cunning, extremely deceptive. Lord, your Holy Spirit can decipher the truth from some false teaching. Lord, we pray that each one of us will stay diligently in the Word. Open up our minds, our hearts, and our ears, Lord, to hear the truth and understand it and accept it in Christ's name. Amen.